It is my privilege and honor to introduce to you a dear, dear brother in the Lord, a reverend of, I call him the reverend, you know, you don't know this, but this is what I call you behind your back, Chris. I say he's the reverend of the Lord of the harvest. There, you know, when Jesus says the harvest is ripe, the harvest is ripe. We need to pray that God would send out laborers into this harvest. He didn't say pray for the harvest. He said pray that God would raise up people that would have this anointing to harvest what is ripe, what is ready. And there are some of us, there are those that, you know, you just have this incredible anointing, Chris, to look through all of the distractions and confusion and distortion, and you see the harvest. That is what he has. It says that God is the Lord of the harvest. And Chris has this amazing ability. I mean, it's incredible. When you consider people that have this ability to peer through all of the distractions of culture and see the harvest. That's what Chris has. Could you please stand with me and welcome the one and the only, the Reverend Chris Callahan, as he comes to deliver the word of the Lord.
Amen. Ever find yourself there, guilty of something there? I have, and I'm a pastor. I found myself guilty with that. You know, I need to be reminded through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within me that I am part of two worlds. We are a people of two worlds. Amen. You think about, first of all, the physical world. It's what you see. It's what you touch. It's a material world, is it not? Right? How many's part of that material world? If you sit there and say you're not, you're a liar. Love you. Because you are. You're here. You're part of this material world. But there's a greater world. And it's called the spiritual world. And you see, the spiritual world is more important than the world we live in. Amen? The Bible talks about what's going to happen here to this world. How many know? It's going to get burned up, right? So all that stuff that we have, it's going to get burned up too, right? So we got to set our priorities. We got to come to an understanding. It's like I'm saying, you got to come, it's a come to Jesus moment this morning. That's my prayer. This is going to be a come to Jesus moment this morning. Become a reality. Ask God to open up your eyes and say, Lord, as we teach today, you show me. Because I tell you, what I'm going to share with you has been so convicting to my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. I come with an evaluation, not only when I hold the mirror up and look at myself, but I have the privilege to go to many churches. And I see what's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ is sick. And guess what the church consists of? Us. Hello? Any light bulbs going off? Think about it. It says that this world will be burned up. It's going to consume the planet. But the spiritual world lives on forever. Are you part of that spiritual world? Think about that. Paul teaches in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What are you seeing? What do you see? What do you really see? Sometimes we're so narrow-minded, we can't see outside the box. Ever hear that? Do you ever look outside the box? Sometimes we look at just this, our own little world. And if something comes awry out of our own little world, we become what? Complacent. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. Think about that. What do you focus on? We fix our eyes on the spiritual world. This is where God is, Jesus is, the Holy Spirit, angels. Do you understand that? Angels. But guess what else is there? demonic spirits, demonic things. Demonic things are there. When you read in Revelations, today I want you to see how the two worlds collide or how they come together. The physical world, the spiritual world, okay? We read in Revelations, if you look from starting chapter 6 through it, you'll see where spiritual demonic things are happening that appear on the earth. All kinds of wicked looking things. Locusts with stingers and they got human faces and it's all kind of weird stuff that's in there. I mean, it could freak you out. Could you imagine if God would open up our eyes to the spiritual world? If the Lord would open up our eyes and we would see even around here right now in church, you'd see some angels, but I bet you'd see some demonic activity going on. Because God's in control, but the enemy wants to get somebody. He wants to get somebody. And guess where they hang out? Church. They hang out in church. Did you know that? Like, what are you talking about? I can guarantee you the demonic spirits ain't hanging out in the bar. They've already got them. They're after us. They're after us. Now, we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. But we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to the spiritual side to strengthen us for where we're at today. Think about those evil spirits, but think about even this, where God used two witnesses raised in the streets in Jerusalem in Revelations. They got up and they began to witness. You see the two worlds. Okay, you see the spiritual world intervening in this world. You see that? Demonic spirits. You can see these things if your eyes are open. Okay, the Antichrist will take on human form. He's going to possess somebody. And once again, you see the two worlds colliding. It's a reality. It's a reality that you need to be aware of. It's very important that you're aware of these things. And you know, here's the awesome thing. God gives some the privilege to actually see these things. Dreams, visions. God actually allows his people to see these things. Now, not everybody gets to. But God gave you senses, and we're going to talk about that. God lets you see these things. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to turn to Numbers, if you got your Bibles, Numbers 22. We're going to talk about Balaam. Mike was reading my message. Balaam and the donkey. Okay? And in this story, we know that Israel was released from Egypt. Okay? They're wandering, they're taking over territory, they're living, and this king hires Balaam, who was a seer, a prophet, okay, to come curse Israel. That was his plan. He wanted to curse Israel. He paid him, by the way. That's another key thing. He actually paid him to do this. Can you imagine that? Think about this story's awesome. When you look at this story, walk with me with this. Numbers chapter 22, verse 22. And it says, then God's anger was aroused because he went. He was mad. Balaam was doing something. You can't curse God's people. Thank God as a nation, we still stand behind Israel. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Okay, you got to picture this. God always has angels. God always sends someone to protect us, okay? Well, in this story, God was angry because Balaam was about to do something he didn't want him to do. And mind you, he was a seer, a prophet, supposed to be a man of God, okay? Now, listen. So, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with the drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So what did Balaam do? So Balaam struck the donkey to turn back onto the road, trying to get him to even go another way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on one side and a wall on the other side, probably a rock wall there. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed. I thought that was very interesting that the donkey was a girl, by the way. I really find this interesting. She pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where there was no way to turn to either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and struck the donkey with his staff. Now take a look at the picture here. Okay? Balaam can't really see what's going on, can he? Not really. He really can't see what's going on here, right? But the donkey does. Think about that. God's using a donkey. You know what the King James version of donkey is, right? The word. Some people put jack in front of it. Don't do it. Don't you be cussing this morning. I did not use the King James version. Here's the cool thing. Check this out. Verse 28. It says, then the Lord opened up the mouth of the donkey. Okay, this is where the picture changes. Could you imagine riding your donkey or something and all of a sudden he speaks up and says, hey, this is where it changes, guys. Because I don't know about you, but if that was me, first of all, I'd get off of him and I'd say, did you just... Talk about an eye-opener, right? Let's see what he says here. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Now, here's another wild thing. Balaam begins to speak back to the donkey. How many of you speak to your animals? Now, how many of your animals speak back to you? Don't raise your hand. Do not raise your head. Okay? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill you. I would have killed you, he said. So the donkey responds and said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours on this day? Was I ever disposed to you? This to you? Of course, and Balaam said, no. There's something greater happening here. There's something much bigger spiritually happening here. You see, Balaam could see with his physical eyes, but was he looking with his spiritual eyes? Who's the real donkey here? It's not the lady donkey, it's the guy. Ladies, that's for you. And I love this part where it says in 31, then the Lord opened up the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Whew. Wow. Talk about a revelation. You know, talk about having the very word of God speak to you and speak to you from a stinking donkey. Then he opens up your eyes. Are your eyes open? When you think about the spiritual world and the physical world that we live in this story, both the animal and the man got to see this. Got to see the spiritual realm. Okay? In this story, unfortunately, the donkey's more spiritual than the man. Why? Why is that? Again, if God could open up our eyes, could you just imagine? You know, sometimes we're just like Balaam. We act like Christians. We believe we have the word of God. But then we can be so hard-headed. I'm probably the hardest-headed person in this place. You ever say to yourself, I'm going to do it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to do it. Ain't nobody going to stop me. I'm going to do it my way. You better be very careful. Because if the Lord's intervening, you may get more than your foot crushed. Something, God will stop you where he needs to stop you. How many of us still, though, we can hear this, we know the word of truth, but we walk out of this church today and we still do it our way? This is what you're doing to God. You know who you are. We've all done it. Every one of us is guilty. Notice I said us. I point at you, but I got 3 points back at me, remember. We're all guilty of this. In this two worlds we live in, we have to open up our eyes. We have to understand who we are. We have to understand the calling that's in our life. And we have to understand to which the power comes from. Because there's a lot of demonic activity out there that you cannot see. You see, the Holy Spirit knows because he lives in the future. He knows. He knows your tomorrows. You don't know your tomorrows. But God knows them. He's already got the plan laid out. He knows your thoughts before they come to you. That's too much for me to fathom. Read it in Psalm 139. It's too much for one mind to even fathom, to think what God would do. But even in the Gospel of John, he gives us the Holy Spirit. He will show us things to come. Open up our eyes. Think about that. Do you imagine? You know, God has angels all around us. He sends angels to protect us. You know, those who have seen angels say there could be anywhere from 9 to 10 feet tall. You know, we all have the picture in our mind. Maybe you've seen them yourself. You know, they're usually majestic and big. But I believe God's got the guardian angels around us for a purpose. For a purpose. They're right here. You can't see them. And listen, don't let your belief, just because you can't see it, don't say it's not real. Greater what's not seen. Did you catch that scripture verse? What you can't see. Think about how good God is. But are you sensitive to that? Are you so sensitive to know that God wants to protect you in every walk, every step of your life? Even when you say no to God and you want to step in to sin, a temptation, the angels are right there. How can we become that sensitive to the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you what, even tonight, you want to freak your angels out that's watching? When you go to lay your head down on the pillow, just turn and say, good night, boys. And they'll be like, can he see us? But they're real. How many know angels are real? Angels are real. And God assigns us ministering spirits. Psalm 119:11 says, For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In all of your ways. But hear me, he doesn't take away your free will. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Just think about that. Think about the position we're in. We have a responsibility. You got a responsibility. You live in this world. You're in this world, but not of the world, right? But if you are a citizen here, what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? You have to ask yourself that. It's a tough one. You see, when God had a plan. He made us spiritual beings. Do you know Ecclesiastes 3 says that God has planted eternity in the hearts of every person, every man, woman? It's a reality. You're seeking something. And if it's not based upon God's word, then you're living in the wrong world. You're playing in this world with things you shouldn't be playing with. You have to be your own judge on this, by the way. What I'm giving you today is God's word. Here's the evidence of how God set this up. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? The first man was of the earth, made of dust. Talking about Adam, right? The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's the second Adam. As was the man of the dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, I want to try to make this a little more clear. Let's read it from the Amplified version, okay? It says, the first man, Adam, okay, you got it, is from the earth, earthly, earthly-minded. Did you catch that? Earthly-minded, okay, made of the dust. The second man, Christ the Lord, is from heaven, as is the earthly man, the man of the dust. So are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, the man of the dust, we also bear the image of the heavenly, the man of the heaven. So you see, we are created to live on this earth. Do you understand? You are made from the elements of the earth, right? Okay, you know, he pulled the ground together, breathed into the nostrils, and you became man, right? Okay, what happens if you know, the human body, if it's taken and it's all the fluids are taken out of it, what's it become? Dust, right? Don't we say that at funerals? You know, from ashes to dust to dust. If Jesus don't get you, the devil must, right? We don't quite say it like that, but you have to understand these human bodies gave you the right to be citizens of this world. You have a right to be here. God gave us what? Dominion over this earth. Did you understand that? People want to say, no, this is Satan's world. You're smoking something. That's not what God said. That's not what he said. You have the rightful place to be here. You see, the devil has no right. You need to know that. Those demonic spirits, what are they doing? They're wandering. What are they trying to do? They're seeking whom they can infiltrate, right? Now, and let me clarify this. If you are born again, a demon cannot come into your heart. But as a believer, you hear me. You take heed to what I'm about to tell you. If you think you're free from demonic activity, then you've lost hope. You're not listening to what God's word says. If you take yourself and you unite yourself with the things of the world, you are opening up the door for Satan to torment you and to give you an unstable life. You are unstable. Do you understand that? Remember, we're in the world, not of the world. What does that mean? Are we supposed to be different? When I became born again, when you become born again, now you are a citizen of what? Heaven, yes! This is not your home anymore. You got dual citizenship. Do you understand that? The dual citizenship only comes when you enter into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When you do that, it opens up a whole nother parameter, which God wants to show you, for you to see. He wants to show you things you knew not. The problem is, we still want to live under our law, That's not God's law. We want to base our faith on religion, laws, and things, the cans and the cannots. If you have the Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. You're not to conform to the pattern of this world. You're supposed to be a living sacrifice, right? You know, when they gave sacrifices in the Old Testament, they would take and they surrender that spotless lamb as a living sacrifice. What they done is they surrendered that ownership. Who owns you? You say Jesus. You say Jesus, but you better take an inventory and make sure if that, does that really qualify? Does that qualify? Are you dipping and dapping and know what's happening? Think about it. Think about it. You see, we got a responsibility. We were bought at a price, right? I mean, I'm giving you the word, guys. I'm just telling you. We are citizens of both worlds. We have the right. We have the authority to be here. We have the right and the authority because of the promise that God gave us that we're going to a better world. But right now, you're here for a plan and a purpose. You see, we need to begin to understand. In these last days, we are seeing such a moral decay in our world. And I see a lot of Christians becoming part of that moral decay. Because we're accepting things of the world. We're accepting things. Now, whatever your conviction is, Christians think it's okay to partake of things of the world that's killing our world, like drugs, alcohol. Sex in the church is ridiculous. It's a reality. Anger, pornography is alive in the church. You have hooked yourself with demonic activity. Why do you think the world doesn't want our Jesus? We're confused ourselves of who we are and where we're going. We don't live it. We talk it. We come to church. Hallelujah! Glory to God! And you act like the devil on Monday morning. Think about it. If we stand on the promises in the Word of God, if we understand our position, it says in Ephesians we are seated in the heavenlies. If we understand that, we can walk with confidence, can't we? We will never trip. We will never fall if we understand our position of this world we're in. Do you understand your position? Or have you fallen for the lie? Are you compromising? Take a look at what's around you, okay? God puts you in position on purpose. Nobody crosses your path on purpose, okay? So if an alcoholic comes to me or a drug addict, what am I to do? I'm to love on them so that they'll see the love of Jesus. Or am I supposed to say, it's okay, go on, have another drink? God understands. God loves everybody. What are you smoking? It's sin. It's separation. You're supposed to be different. If you're not sharing Jesus with that lost person whose mind is probably twisted, maybe stuck on religion, not interpreting the Bible what it is, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. Everybody, you guys, the young people, your world, you are responsible to be sharing Jesus with them. You don't like that? Take it up with God. It's our responsibility. And see, the beauty in all this is, again, is when you're born again, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal, he takes away the shackles. You begin to see things differently. Then as you read his word, man, he starts filling you. And the Spirit just takes over and you operate in the Spirit. The Spirit can well up in you and you can be all God called you to be. You should be so heavenly minded, you're all the earthly good that you need to be. But are you? But are you? Now listen to me. I'm talking about being spiritual. Don't get crazy on me. Don't go to the local Walmart, because we're talking about this and you're floating around there. Oh, I see angels, and you bust out speaking in tongues. Next thing we know, Pastor Lou's calling me, said, I don't know what you told those people, but the Walmart manager says some of your people's over here and they are floating way out of the world. There's a balance. Keep your feet on the ground. Jesus was the most spiritual person you ever saw. Do you understand that? He was the most spiritual person on the face of the earth. But you know what he had? It's called common sense. Hello? It's called common sense. Sometimes we just don't think. You know why? Because we're thinking in this world, not the spiritual world. You can't think of the, you cannot think spiritually if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, if you have the Holy Spirit, there's two things. It's called grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. You can actually offend God, the God who lives in your heart. Remember, that's a person. It's not a, may the force be with you. It's a real person. If you're not, then your emotions, you can tell by, you can evaluate yourself. How's your balance? If life seems overwhelming, you need to check your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Because did God give you a spirit of fear? Did he give you a spirit to where you're confused? You have to ask yourself that. We need to develop our spiritual senses. The inner man, that Holy Spirit that lives within us, that needs to be developed. That's why I want you to see the reality of a citizenship in two worlds here. You're here for a purpose. You have a right to be here. This is your earthly suit that qualifies you. The Holy Spirit qualifies you to take position in the next world. Do you understand that? With that comes responsibility. It comes responsibility. You know, I love, as we read in the Bible, we see many examples of how God opens up our eyes and we can see things in the spiritual realm. You know, one thing happened to me when I was 7 years old. I was run over by a car, okay? My head was totally split open. I was in the hospital almost a year. They told my parents, this guy, I'm sorry, he will be, you know, we use the term, some of you, I know a young person may not understand, they would call it, he would be a vegetable. You know, meaning that I would never be right. I was blind for a year. I couldn't see. Even when they brought me home from the hospital, I would bounce off the walls, my mom and dad said. I didn't know where I was at. I was disoriented. I was just out there. I don't remember running in the street. I don't remember getting run over by the car. There's a lot of things I don't remember, and that's probably God's grace, you know, that I don't remember. The only thing I remember is this. I was laying on that table. And I saw myself laying on the table. And the priest was giving me my last rites. And all I know was there was someone there with their arm around me. Somebody was holding me. I didn't know then. I know now who it was. I know now who it was. God let me see that. God let me remember that part. Why? Why did he let me? In this world, we'll have trouble, right? Wake up, accept it. It's part of life. Let's take another look at scripture here in Matthew. As God opens up the eyes of farmers and fishermen here. In Matthew 17, verses 1 through 8, it says, and this is where Jesus is transfigured here. He's changed right before their eyes. And he says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother. Okay, so there's four of these guys. He led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Try to picture that. Put yourself in that position. Could you imagine that if that was you? And behold, verse 3, Well, let me back up. I'm sorry. Up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Wow. Could you imagine seeing that? Do you ever try to picture that? When I read stuff, I try to picture it because it helps me. I'm a dummy. I need help. You know, I'm ADHD. I need to read things 2 and 3 times to really get it. So I try to picture it. And then check this out. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Think about that. Okay, Old Testament prophet appeared. You know what the wild thing is about this? Jesus didn't turn and say, hey, Peter, guys, this is Moses and Elijah. He didn't have to turn and tell them that. Because you know why? First of all, every good Jew knew all about Moses and Elijah. Okay? Second of all, when you're in the spiritual realm, all answers are there. Do you understand that? They didn't need to be told. They knew because of where they were at that point. They just knew. They knew where they were at. And of course, Peter being the spokesman here, he says, then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. You know, wouldn't you love to know exactly what Jesus, when Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were talking, wouldn't you love to know exactly what they were saying, first of all? Just think about that. You know, get deep into the story. You know, then Peter says, you know, should we build tabernacles here? You know, Peter, again, the spokesman, it's like, you're going to build a tabernacle for these guys? We don't know what the conversation or actually what Jesus said to him at that point. But the next verse is awesome. Because he says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. You know, once again, the cloud. Remember the cloud in the Old Testament? You know, a representation of the Shekinah glory. God's very presence. You know, that's what you see here in the Word. You see it in the New Testament right here. And then the voice, can you imagine? Do you hear God's voice? Oh, now you really flipped your lid. You're hearing voices. Listen, when God speaks to you, you know it. He speaks to us in His Word. You know, He speaks to us through other people. And the Holy Spirit will let you know. Listen to me. One thing I know for sure. If you're staying close to Jesus, you're in the Word, you will never fall. Do you understand it? His revelation will keep you straight. You will know beyond the shadow of a doubt. If you walk into a situation you know you're not supposed to be in, first of all, it'll be uncomfortable. Whether you decide to do it or not, you'll know. God makes no mistakes. And see, all walk into these things. But remember, what kind of citizen are you here? If you know who you are, you know where you're going, you should understand your purpose. This isn't about you building your little American dream. This isn't about you building your clientele of friends. Whoever God puts in your plan, if you're not sharing Jesus with them, shame on you. Whether you like it or not. If they don't know this for sure hope you got, I don't care if they're into Buddhism. I don't care if they're JW. I don't care what they are. It doesn't matter. If they don't know and see, listen to me. Your life should be such a testimony that you don't even have to speak a word. They're going to know. They're going to know. And they'll ask you the questions. They'll ask you the question. What about this Jesus? Well, I heard Jesus doesn't send anybody to hell. God loves everybody. He does. That's not a lie. He died for the what? The whole world, didn't he? He died for the drunkard. He died for what? The adulterer. He died for the homosexual. He died for the lesbian. He died for all of them. We're supposed to win them to Jesus because he died for me. And I have the hope. I didn't buy the lie. See, a lot of people buy a lie. I had a brother who was in an alternative lifestyle. Went to Mexico. I'm giving you some of my dirt. Went to Mexico, paid $10,000 to have the sex change, to become a woman. When I would witness to him, I could hear on the phone, and I would say, Michael, have you consulted Jesus about, I don't need Jesus, I go higher. I said, Mike, let me hook you up. He was out in California. Let me hook you up with some people. I said, where are you getting your counseling? Well, they've said to give into my emotions, my feelings, the counselors he was going to. Do you understand that? So he went ahead and did this. God had a plan, though. He got sick. He didn't have AIDS. Because right away, people hear that right away. They want to put the label of AIDS on you. But he was sick. He had been in a lot of industry. He was a mechanic. And personally, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He was an ugly woman. You know, but he was a mechanic. You know, but that's here nor there. All right? We would still witness him. My family, I come from a large family. Nobody wanted anything to do with him except me and my sister, our family. They wanted nothing to do with him. Condemned him to hell. Condemned him to hell. He wanted to come home. So we said, okay, my sister and I got together and Sherry, and we decided we'll put him up in a hotel so we can get him established. I had little kids. I had to protect my children too. I mean, this is a hard thing. Their little minds can't comprehend this, nor do I want to taint them till they can't comprehend what the enemy does to people, how the enemy tricks people. He came home. We took him to the hotel. He is crying so bad. He was scared to death to be alone. The Holy Spirit convicted us right there, convicted Sherry and I, and we looked at each other without speaking a word. We looked at each other without speaking a word, and we said, we got to take him home. We brought him home. We called him MC. He changed his name to Connie. I don't care what he thought it was. I wasn't calling him that. Michael, actually, it was perfect. MC Michael Callahan. So MC, okay? And that's what my kids called him. But my son even looked at him one day, looked at him real intently. Josh was little, and he goes, what are you, a boy or a girl? Michael says, why don't you ask your dad? I said, I'm going to kill you. You know? So we changed the subject, of course. But here was the thing. We loved on him. Our youngest son, Stephen, if you know him, he loves Jesus. He's got the sweetest spirit. He would make popcorn, watch movies with him, witness to him, share with him. We took him to church. Okay? And I warned that it was a church that I worked at for 24 plus years. Took him there. Okay? We took him to church. And, you know, I warned the staff too, you know, just to let them know. And he heard a message of God's love. God opened up his heart. He made the altar call all on his own. He went forward. He got saved, guys. He got saved. Okay? That night, when we were at home sitting there talking, he said, what am I going to do now? He said, I've made a mistake. I says, Michael, don't worry about the body. It turns into dust anyway. We worry about the soul. He got saved. 5 weeks later, guys, it was about a month, 5-6 weeks later, we couldn't get a hold of him, went to his apartment, he was dead. Had to do his funeral. But I believe he's going to be in heaven. All we had to do was love him. I did not accept what he did. He knew that. I don't accept that. Why? Well, I don't know what you stand your promises on. I got mine right here. You can justify yourself any way you want. Jesus said it. That settles it. I don't care what you believe. That's the bottom line. You want to experience God's love? You don't love somebody if you're not sharing Jesus. You don't love them. You don't love them. because you're sending them to hell. Wow. I got off on a tangent. I'm telling you. So, at any rate, in this story here where he was transfigured, you know, their eyes were opened, okay? When they heard this voice saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." Wow. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Ephesians 1:18, Paul prayed this. He prayed this. "Lord, that the eyes of your understanding," in other words, the eyes of your heart, "be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints." Not dead saints, alive saints. Alive saints. You see, Satan has blinded men to the truth. The gospel is offensive to those who are perishing, but not to us who know Jesus. Acts 26:18 says, God told Paul to say, you know, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Sanctified. You know what that means? Holy. Well, how holy are you? Or is it just your socks or your underwear? How holy are you? What does your life represent? You are a citizen of this world. But this is not your final stop. If you know Jesus, you're going to a better place. How many of us today understand that these eyes break down, the physical eyes? That's why Psalm 119, here's our prayer. "Open to my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." The law of the Holy Spirit, not the book of the law, not the commandments. We're talking about the spiritual side here. How many understand our spiritual eyes need work? You ready? How many understand it? The physical eyes break down, don't they? Right? My wife will tell me I need glasses. I don't need glasses. Where'd that come from? I don't need glasses. But this physical, they even need work. Sometimes you need to put glasses on to even make it in this world. Very dear friend of mine, a pastor couple, they went to a restaurant. And they got all dressed up, went to this nice, real nice restaurant, walked in. It's dark. They sit them down at a table, and they give them menus that their print is real small, okay? And so, you know, us men, we're prideful, aren't we? So looking, you know, he wasn't going to ask for the glasses. He's trying to figure out what's on this menu so, you know, he can act like he's still in control. He's even leaning, there's a little candle on the table. He's leaning over to try to even see what's on the menu and almost catches the place on fire. So the waitress comes over and says, "Well, are you ready to order?" He said, "Yes, I am. Go ahead, honey, you order first." So she orders, and then he orders, and he says, "I'll just have that right there." "Good choice, my friend. The Rocky Mountain oysters are very good tonight." Now, if you don't know what those are, I prophesy when you look it up, you will be laughing like crazy. If you don't know what Rocky Mountain oysters are, you will be laughing like crazy. You see, guys, there's the physical side. We need to take care of this, don't we? Right? We need to take care of this so we don't stumble, so we don't fall. There's a spiritual side that if you're not nourishing it, you're dying. You are dying. How many of us walk today and miss Jesus? You understand he could be walking right with you and you could miss him because you're hung up on a religious thing or religious rules and regulations or you're just doing your own thing. Look at, I'm just going to share a couple more verses with you. Luke 24, 13 through 17. This is the road to Emmaus. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Okay? And as they walked together, all of these things which had happened. Now, just think about this. This is when Jesus was crucified. Okay? This is after the fact. Okay? So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Why are they sad? Because they just lost their Savior. What they lost was standing right in front of them and they didn't see it. Are you awake? The truth is right before you. Jesus is right here. And how many of us miss that? You see, he wants to open your eyes. As the story continues, he says in verse 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. Verse 28. Then they draw near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he was going to go on farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and stayed with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished in their sight. Wow. Are you here by mistake this morning? Is the Lord revealing something to you? What are you missing? Are you saying, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Are you looking to Jesus or are you at lunch already? How many times at work was he there? How many times at school? Or maybe even in your neighborhood, maybe in your home. How many times was he there and you missed it? You just missed it. You see, you don't know this truth unless that truth is within you. You see, Revelations 20:15 says, if your name is not in that Lamb's book of life, you're not going to heaven. That's the bottom line. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. There's no other way. There's no other way to become a citizen of heaven except through Jesus Christ. He removes the shackles. You will see things different. But isn't God so cool? He didn't make us robots. He wants us to make the right decisions. And when he saves you, doesn't mean your problems are all gone. He's just going to give you different eyes to see him through. He'll give you his word and he'll enlighten you so that you can survive in a world on its way to hell. Are you surviving? Do you know this Jesus? Has he opened up your eyes? Or maybe today, you need to say, Jesus, I've been doing things my way. I've been playing church. You ever been on a roller coaster ride? Couldn't wait to get to the top. And when you're going down, it's like awesome, isn't it? What a thrill it gives you. So thrill you want to scream. You see, that's what Jesus does for us. And even when in the anticipation of reaching the top, he carries you. Because he don't want you to stumble. He don't want you to fall. Do you need a donkey to speak to you? Or are you the dumb donkey that doesn't speak. You have to ask yourself that this morning. I want you to bow your heads. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, today you heard me speak about citizens of two worlds. You know you're a citizen here. That's everybody in this room. You were created from the seed of Adam. You see, Adam had the perfect life. He had the best of both worlds. He had the spiritual world because he walked with Jesus in the cool of the day. And then he made a huge mistake. Adam sinned. Then there was separation, which separated me and you. And God gave you a free will today to choose. You see, God made us intelligent people to make intelligent decisions. Today, you say from your own heart, God, open up my eyes. And we're praying that that's what the Lord's doing for you today. You see, God loves you. You're not here by mistake. God wants your name in that Lamb's Book of Life. He loves you. And today, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, you feel a stirring in your heart. You see, that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you onto himself. Embrace that, guys. Don't reject it. Embrace that. You see, he's calling you. He loves you. And he wants you close to him. He wants to open up your eyes and show you things you knew not. Today, if that's you, you know you need Jesus. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, I'd just like to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? You know who you are. Yes, honey, I see that hand. God bless you. Yes, little one, I see that hand. God bless you. I don't know what would hold you back today. Is it religion? Is it the person sitting next to you? Don't worry about that. You see, this is about eternity. About yours. You see, we're not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can know your names in that Lamb's Book of Life. All you need to do is surrender your heart to him. Is there another? Can I pray for you while your heads are bowed? You know you need Jesus. For those of you in this room, I'm speaking to the believers now. You know you've been tricked. You know you've done things your own way. Judgment starts in the house of God first. That's where it starts, guys. We need to ask the Lord to open up the eyes of my heart. As he does that, you know that we serve a God of a second chance. He wants to give you understanding. He wants to enrich that relationship. That's you today, and you know it's time to get that fresh look, that fresh awakening. Would you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Yes, I see hands all across this for honest people saying, you know, I've not arrived. I need this. I need this. You put your hands down. Listen. Guys, look up at me. I want you to know this. God loves you. And he wants that relationship with you. And like I said earlier, God made us intelligent people. Today you make an intelligent decision. Number one, if you're receiving Christ for the first time, you make that intelligent decision to say, I want this. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want my eyes opened so I can see what's going on before me. If you're a Christian, this is your opportunity too. If you're out there, you raised your hand. I want you to do me one favor. You raised your hand. You know you need Jesus. There was a couple of you. If you're honest with yourself and you're going to be honest with God here this morning, would you take a bold step and stand up right where you're at? Come on. Stand up for, if you won't stand up for him here, God bless Johnny. You won't stand up for him out there. Stand up for Jesus. That's right. While you're standing there, stay standing. We're going to say a prayer together. And maybe you're not standing and you know you should be. Listen, it's not a prayer of fancy words. I can't save you. This church can't save you. Only Jesus. Only he brings redemption full and free. You can receive him right in your seat. Because you see, he loves you. And he's tapping at the door of your heart even now. Let's say this prayer together, but you say it from your heart and you must mean it. Let's bow our heads. Church, would you help us also as we share this prayer together? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Come live in my heart. I want to go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I love you, Jesus. Help me to make you the Lord of my life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. As they sing, open up the eyes of my heart. If you need prayer counselors, would you come up, please? If you need prayer, we have counselors here. They want to pray with you. They want to make sure you know that you have a calling on your life. They want you to have that blessed assurance. So the altars are open. I'm going to close in prayer as this song. If you need prayer, I want you to come up. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your unchanging word. Thank you, Lord, today, Lord, that you have opened up our eyes. Father, we have no excuse now. You've given us your word. You've given us your truth. Now, Father, we walk in the power and the authority that you've given us, in the power and authority of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, you didn't abandon us. Thank you, Lord, we can walk into victory today, Father. Lord, we walk out of this house on fire for you, Lord. Lord, to be that testimony you've called us to be. Now, Father, touch each one. Bless each one in this room, Father, Lord. Bless their afternoon. Father, may the words, your words, Father, continually, Father, change us. Enlighten us, Father. Lord, that you may receive all the... Lord, let them see you. Don't let them see us, Father. Let them see you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sing.